The content of the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Present your case to our experts by calling in between 12:30 and 1 on Sundays. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now your host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Good afternoon, and I hope that you had a good week. Today, of course, is December 7th, 2008, and we'd like to just take a moment to pause in honor of those individuals who lost their lives and were injured 67 years ago today. This radio healthcare clinic is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, whose mission is to create an interactive community-wide safety net to make you a lay expert on your own individual medical problems. We do this through two educational programs. The first, this radio program, which is presented every week with a different medical topic and a different guest expert to answer your questions in a live, dynamic, interactive format. And secondly, our annual Focus on Females Women's Healthcare Symposium, which is in March of each year, where we cover 20 different topics on one day, along with exercise classes and health screenings, chair massage, and so forth, all free. And again, providing an interactive forum for you to ask your questions about your health. Together, these educational programs enable you to better partner with your existing physician, leading to more effective office visits, fast results, and to reduce the economic burden of avoidable medical care. Well, today, the topic is osteoporosis. And with me is Dr. Joel Silverfield. Joel is on the phone, I believe. Joel, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, doctor. I certainly can.
Well, great. Joel is an alumnus of Emory University, where he went to college and medical school. He did his internship and residency also at the Emory University Hospital and Grady Memorial Hospital. He did his fellowship in rheumatology at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. And he's been here in Tampa practicing in rheumatology. His practice focuses on rheumatology for over 20 years. Joel is very active in clinical research. He participated as either the principal investigator or co-investigator on more than 750 research trials. Joel has served as a principal investigator on original or early important trials for Fosamax, Actinel, Evista, Boniva, and Reclast, and is currently participating in trials for, well, how do I say that? Denosumab?
Denosumab, that's correct.
Okay. And other agents for osteoporosis. He has authored or co-authored numerous publications, as well as one of the earliest books on osteoporosis. Joel has been selected to the best doctors in America for the past 10 years and has been selected as an Arthritis Foundation Leader of the Year in 2006. Joel, it's great to have you here. And I know that you would have been in the studio other than the fact that your son successfully met the criteria or to be in a golf competition. Is that?
That's right. Charles qualified for a Florida Junior Tour event. He's 16 years old, and he loves golf. And we're up here in Orlando, just got through with the tournament. And I must say he did reasonably well. He'll do better next time. But we had a lot of fun. I appreciate you letting me be on the show from a remote situation.
Outstanding.
Listening to you talking about Pearl Harbor Day, you know, which what an incredible day in our country's history. But it also makes me think about FDR and the type of medicine that was being practiced in this country at that time. You know, at that time, Steve, the average person in America only lived to be around 60 to 62 years of age. That's been said that one of the reasons that FDR chose 65 for Social Security is that he knew most Americans would never make that age. But as we're all living longer in this country, particularly the women, as you know, who are the true champs of longevity, we're seeing more and more of osteoporosis. And it's become a topic that if you looked in medical textbooks 50 years ago, there was hardly a mention of it.
That's right. And I remember even hearing things like people referring to grandma with osteoporosis in the way, for example, don't hug her too hard, she may crack.
Well, that's absolutely. In fact, there was an old joke, step on a crack and break your mother's back. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of children in the inner cities would be very careful how they walked on sidewalks. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. You know, when I first became interested in osteoporosis, when I was at the Mayo Clinic, we actually had a ward. And on that ward were patients who had broken backs and broken hips. And that was how we made the diagnosis of osteoporosis, was after someone had already fractured. Mm-hmm. And it was not a very good way to do things. So for years, we kept thinking, what if we could just diagnose this state of having thin bones before a patient fractures? And luckily, this bone density came along. It's really been out around 20-plus years. And for the first time, we were able to see that people with low bone density actually were more at risk to have a fracture. So we could actually predict who would have a fracture. And this is exciting because once we could pick up who might have a fracture, then we might be able to affect that process and prevent them from having the fracture.
So you may be able to pick up a precondition for a fracture years before the fracture may actually occur.
That's absolutely the case. In fact, it's you know, it's interesting. A lot of people don't realize that it wasn't that long ago, maybe 35 years ago, that we weren't sure how bad hypertension was. And the VA system actually did a study, and they took about 500 veterans with high blood pressure, and half of them they treated, and half of them they did not. It was originally intended to be a five-year trial. And, of course, after about 18 months, they had to quit the trial because they found so many patients indeed were having heart attacks and strokes. And what we're finding now on some of our osteoporosis trials that, you know, we really are uncomfortable giving a patient with osteoporosis just placebo. You know, we want to be sure that everybody gets treated. I'd just like to say a moment, if you don't, and please stop me if I run on, but a moment about osteoporosis. A lot of patients don't really understand exactly what it is. Osteo means bone, and pore means hole, like the pores in your skin. So osteoporosis is a patient whose bones have too many holes in them.
That's right. And if I can interrupt first for a moment, Joel, I want to thank you for giving, you know, some background information on such an important disease. We do have a caller from California that we'd like to get on the air. Susan, you're calling from California. Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Do you have a question on osteoporosis for Dr. Silverfield?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Maskin. Hi, Dr. Silverfield.
How are you, Susan?
Good, thank you. I have a question. I am soon to be 54, and I was diagnosed with osteoporosis and osteopenia about a year or so ago, and my doctor put me on Fosamax. What I am curious about is what causes someone to have holes in their bones as compared to somebody else? Is it an inherited thing? Is it something that was deformed when you were a child? I'm just curious about why I have osteoporosis and somebody else might not, And then a second question would be, due to me having multiple sclerosis, I cannot do a lot of exercise. I still do a little cardio 3 to 4 times a week. Is there anything else I can do to decrease the risk of it, my osteoporosis getting any worse?
So let's first tackle the causes of osteoporosis. I know it's fairly multifactorial. Joel, would you respond?
First of all, I'd like to say you said you were diagnosed with both osteoporosis and osteopenia.
Yes.
Osteopenia is actually a disease pre-state. In other words, it'd be like being a pre-diabetic. Someone who is osteopenic means your bones are thin, but they're not yet in the osteoporosis stage. So if you're osteopenic, that usually means that your T-score on your bone density is greater than negative 2.5. So there's a little bit of confusion. My guess would be you're probably in that range that you're sort of a borderline osteoporosis, and I suspect that's what your doctor was trying to tell you. Now, yes, osteoporosis is multifactorial, and you've already actually mentioned several things yourself that would certainly lead to that. First of all, you mentioned that you're a female, and let's be frank about it. Women are about 5 times as likely to get osteoporosis as men are, and we think it actually has to do that women have a thinner bone density. You're putting bone into your body's bone bank from about when you're born until about age 30, 32. If you track people's bone densities, they tend to increase through about age 30 to, say, 35. And then you're relatively stable with your bone bank until you reach your menopause time. And then we start to see a decline of around 2 to 3%.
Joe, let me stop you there a minute. Susan, do you understand the concept of a bone bank, a person's own bone bank?
No, I don't.
It would be like if you wanted to put money away for retirement, and so during your working years, you're putting money in the bank so that when you retire, you'll be able to draw it down. And a bone bank is the way that your body builds up bone. So when you're young and you're growing and you're taking in calcium and vitamin D and you're exercising, God is making your bones more dense. Then when you reach around age 30 to 35, they're about as dense as they're going to be. And when you reach your menopause state, you start drawing down from your bone bank. Calcium starts to leave your bones, and they become thinner and less dense.
So bone is a very active organ.
Yes, they are.
Doctor, I guess my question still is this something that can be inherited?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to get into some of the risk factors for osteoporosis. One would be being a female. Number two would be age. So as you get older, age is a factor. In men, it's a factor after age 70. Women, it usually begins around age 50. The third thing you mentioned that was a risk factor is your multiple sclerosis. Patients with multiple sclerosis or any kind of a chronic disorder, be it arthritis such as rheumatoid arthritis, be it a chronic neurological disorder such as MS or perhaps Parkinson's disease, those patients tend to have an increased rate of bone loss.
And why is that, Joel?
We think some of that is due to inactivity. Some of that may be due to lack of absorption of calcium. Or it may be that the gene that increases your risk for multiple sclerosis and the fact that people with multiple sclerosis tend to be above a certain latitude, at least in our country, those are all risk factors as well. Now, you ask about genetics. There's no doubt about it. When we look at patients with osteoporosis, they're much more likely to have a family member, be it a mother or a sister or a grandmother, who either has a history of osteoporosis or a history of early fracture. So, yes, it certainly does run in families. And going back to the bone bank, Susan, what that means is that maybe instead of having a certain amount of calcium in your bone bank, you start out with less calcium because of genetics.
So I can go blame my mother.
That's right. I'm sure she gave you many good genes, but probably a few you'd rather change
bad
out.
Bad ones, okay.
Is there any fractures in your family, Susan, that you know of?
Not that I know of, no, which is why I'm finding it interesting and why I asked the question specifically.
Okay, we will come right back to discuss more about osteoporosis from Susan calling from California. We'll be right back on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
Check out the details. program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 4th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702.
Are you one of the many folks who suffer from dry eye? Have you seen countless doctors and still can't find relief? Have they told you, sorry, but dry eye is something you'll have to live with or nothing can be done for you? Well, don't stand for that answer anymore just because someone else doesn't understand your dry eye problems. Go to the only eye doctor in Central Florida that specializes exclusively in dry eye and related diseases. Meet with Dr. Stephen Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where you'll be given up to 2 hours of face-to-face time with the doctor to get at the root cause of your dry eye pain and redness, plus begin targeted therapy right away. The Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, 3001 Swan Avenue in Tampa. Find them online at drmaskin.com. Haven't you waited long enough?
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We are boning up on osteoporosis today and learning about osteoporosis from Dr. Joel Silverfield. We have a caller from California, Susan, who's a almost 54-year-old with osteoporosis, early osteoporosis, and multiple sclerosis, who has been put on Fosamax 1 year ago. And we're discussing causes. In her case, there's although genetics plays a role, there is no family history of fracture or osteoporosis known to her. And we're discussing the other risk factors, multiple sclerosis perhaps being one of them, being a female, also a risk factor. Joel, you want to take over from here?
Yes, I would say are you a smoker, Susan?
I quit smoking in 1984.
1984. Smoking, for whatever reason, seems to reduce bone density substantially. That's a major risk factor. If you smoke for a few years, even that alone, particularly if you were smoking some of your younger years, you actually did not build as good a bone as someone who did not smoke. So smoking is a risk factor. Your treatment for multiple sclerosis, has that involved any steroid use or cortisone use?
No, I'm on something called Copaxone. It's a daily injection.
Well, Copaxone is pretty bone-friendly, but many of the patients who've been on cortisone or steroids, they actually have a substantial loss of bone density with that particular agent. So many patients who have MS will have been on steroids, and their bone density will be low. Do you have a history of lactose intolerance?
No. What I did is, after I reached menopause, however, I am taking a lot of soy products instead of milk.
Uh-huh.
But that's
soy,
just to help menopause. You know, HRT at all.
So you did not use hormone therapy.
Correct.
I'm not a big one for hormone therapy, although I will just say this, that hormone therapy is one of the treatments that is quite helpful to prevent bone loss. It's not very good at building bone, but a drug called Premarin or something in that same family, or a drug called Evista, which is a selective estrogen receptor modulator, or a SERM, they both have pretty good activity on keeping your bone strong.
Susan, do you have any history of, in the family or yourself, of breast cancer or heart difficulties or stroke in the family? Any of those things?
I personally had breast cancer in 2005 when I had a mastectomy.
Okay, so you've had breast cancer. Did they use any of the treatments like Femara, or do they use a drug like tamoxifen?
I was very lucky, doctor. They caught it at an early stage, and I did not have to do chemo radiation nor tamoxifen.
Okay. I will say this, that if you, with breast cancer, some of the treatments, such as tamoxifen, which is often used for 5 years,
right,
does actually build bone a bit. It actually has a bone building, or at least it does not cause loss of bone. On the other hand, some of the treatments, such as Femara, can actually reduce bone density. So,
Joe, what's your view on with her history of breast cancer? Are you in remission now, Susan?
Yes, I am.
Would you recommend
3 years? What is it? 05, 3 years, cancer free.
So, would you recommend at this point staying away from hormones or other therapies that are effective to try first, in addition to the Fosamax? Let's say her bone density readings continue to be a problem. Would you tend to stay away from the estrogen hormones? With her history?
You certainly would certainly avoid estrogen, but there are some things that actually can prevent breast cancer as well as increase her bone density.
Okay.
So those are things that we're going to be, that she should talk with her doctors about. Frankly, I would not use medication to treat bone density from the cancer standpoint. I would do it. We have some excellent ways to build bone density other than what she would need. So I think I would just leave those separate. What we do say, let's say, for example, Susan, you developed some osteoporosis and your doctors were trying to figure out what to treat you with, and you said, well, my sister had breast cancer. Then we might suggest a drug such as Evista, which actually reduces your risk of breast cancer by about 40%. So there are some little tricks one can use in a treatment standpoint when we're looking at that. But at this juncture with your treatment, I would not add anything else. Now, as far as prevention goes, let's just try and lay a foundation for what one does.
Joe, let me interrupt you for a minute here. If we can finish reviewing the risk factors, we talked about gender, age, having a chronic disease such as multiple sclerosis, smoking, steroid use. What other risk factors? For example, if she's, as far as her frame, a large frame, smaller frame.
Well, that gets back sort of to the genetics. It's a little bit hard, actually, to look at a patient and decide, what their osteoporosis risk is going to be by looking at their frame.
Okay.
It's a little overrated. I will say this, that patients with blonde hair and blue eyes seem to be more risk, although I've seen many that have very good bones. Some patients of Mediterranean background, Latin background, or Oriental background will all have somewhat of an increased risk for osteoporosis. That gets back to your genetics. Patients who are black seem to have a higher bone density and less of a risk for osteoporosis.
And what comment could you make on alcohol intake and osteoporosis?
Unless it's a large amount of alcohol in general, there would be very little effect on that.
And what, just for ballpark, for general purposes of information, at what point is a reasonable amount? At what point does it become a concern for someone who already has osteoporosis?
Well, now, if you have osteoporosis, alcohol, I would say more than 4 to 6 drinks a day could result in some bone loss, but it would not be substantial. My bigger fear would be with alcohol usage would be the slip and fall situation, Steve.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I do think my patients who do drink and get a little wobbly or dizzy at night, they are certainly more at risk for falls.
Okay, and we're right back again with more on osteoporosis on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Your choice for intelligent talk. Bennett, Gallagher, Prager, Medved, Hewitt. Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. President-elect Barack Obama predicts the economy is going to get worse before it gets better. In an interview on NBC, he also discussed an auto industry rescue package. Says any bailout should be pinned to restructuring the industry so that, in his words, quote, it actually works. Meanwhile, Senator Chris Dodd is hopeful of a short-term $15 billion aid measure for U.S. carmakers that could pass in the next few days. But the Senate Banking Committee chairman says the company should have to make some changes, even replacing their top executives if they want help. The current Secretary of State is praising the woman tapped to replace her. Condoleezza Rice says Hillary Rodham Clinton will do a great job. As Barack Obama's top diplomat, Rice says Clinton is intelligent, loves the country, and has faith in American values. And NBC has named the permanent moderator to replace Tim Russert on Meet the Press. NBC News Chief White House Correspondent David Gregory will take the job. This is SRN News.
If you've been watching the news lately, you've been
inexperienced. What exactly is this foreign experience that she's claiming?
And she said his approach to foreign policy was naive.
I have a lifetime of experience that I will bring, and Senator Obama has a speech he gave in 2002.
Will President-elect Obama and Secretary of State-designate Hillary Clinton be on the same page, or a political odd couple?
That we are accustomed to.
Stay tuned for thoughtful analysis. Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
Winter's almost here, and we know what that means. Not snow shovels. You live in Florida. It's time for patio furniture. Time to enjoy cooler, sunny days on your lanai. Head over to Patioland USA, Tampa Bay's outdoor furniture superstore. Shop for sofas and chaise lounges, dining sets, and bar stools. Patioland USA's 14,000-square-foot showroom is just a mile east of 275 on Bears. Visit PatiolandUSA.com or call 813-632-8070. 813-632-8070.
Your host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show. At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. Dr. Maskin manages these dry eye disorders using innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands, and a topical cure for eye surface cancer. Dr. Maskin has been successfully managing difficult dry eye cases for over 18 years and is board certified, fellowship trained, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and the American Academy of Ophthalmology. He's been selected a best doctor in America every year from 2000 through 2008 and as an America's top ophthalmologist by Consumers Research Council of America. We hope the Focus on Females education programs, including this show, will help you and your family find the health care that works for you. Focus on Females believes in saving lives and protecting families. And please, visit drmaskin.com. And if you've not found relief for your painful red, dry eyes, come in to see Dr. Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where comfortable eyes lead to restored lives.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to our show today on osteoporosis. We're talking with Susan from California about osteoporosis. She's a 54-year-old woman. Our expert today is Dr. Joel Silverfield. And Joel, I think we're going to start talking about how to think about therapy for this young lady.
Okay. Well, I think the therapy for osteoporosis is so individual, Dr. Maskin. It really is. It is it has to be tailored to each individual. So
Now, she's been on Fosamax for a year. Is that correct, Susan?
Yes.
Okay.
Fosamax, which is now become a generic, and it's actually been around. That drug is actually, I think we first started working with Fosamax or Fosamax about 15 years ago. So it's been around quite a while. In fact, it's reached the point where it is a generic. And a lot of patients will ask me, Dr. Silverfield, is there any difference between the generic drug and the name brand? And the answer is it probably isn't. The FDA makes them be within 15% to 20% of the same drug. So I do recommend that if you're going to take one, the generic is fine. There is one called Fosamax Plus D, which has a little bit of a vitamin D along with it, and that's, again, a name brand. You can get the same effect by adding your own vitamin D much cheaper.
Let me ask you a question. Let's start with diet. What should we be advising this young lady as far as her diet?
Well, that's I started to talk earlier about the foundation of osteoporosis care, and that is basically the first thing I usually start with, Steve, is exercise.
Okay.
That's the one thing that we just can't get around. Exercise keeps the bones strong. We're talking weight-bearing exercise such as walking, doing the elliptical, Stairmaster, anything where you're bearing weight is very good. Things that don't work as well would be things such as swimming.
Okay. That's important. That's important because, of course, she has a history of multiple sclerosis. And Susan, what's been the perspective of your neurologist presently as far as how much exercise you can do?
I'm lucky. My new neurologist does allow me to do some cardio, 20 minutes, 3 to 4 times a week.
What do you think about that, Joel?
I think that's great. We'd like to see more. Our studies, Susan, often look at about 45 minutes 3 times a week. We think that's pretty darn good. But I think what you're doing is excellent, and that's very important to do, so keep at that.
What kind of cardio is that, Susan?
I'm sorry?
What kind of cardio have you been doing?
Well, I do the treadmill.
That's fine.
Okay,
and
good.
And then I've done the elliptical a bit, but too much energy has been expended, so I'm really tired from that.
Can it increase your MS symptoms?
Fatigue does.
Okay.
Yes, so I have to watch fatigue. So the treadmill has been the best.
Well, I like the treadmill because the treadmill is very scalable. It's very individualized, and I like the treadmill. And that's from an osteoporosis standpoint, that's all you need to do. I think that's just a great thing. What exercise seems to do, we really didn't understand this until probably over the last 25 years, is a bone that is exercised tends to be a stronger bone. One of the risk factors that we didn't mention earlier is bed rest. Patients who are at prolonged bed rest tend to have much thinner bones than patients who are active. Patients who, for example, live on the moon or who are weightless in space, they will have a reduction in bone density. So our astronauts, if they're in space long enough, will have a reduction in their bone density while they're up there because they don't have the pull of gravity on their bones.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take an athlete who has a fracture. If we want that bone to heal more quickly, we actually have a way we can stimulate that bone to make it think that it's exercising so that it doesn't become too thin while it's in the repair process.
So again, this reflects the fact that it's an actively growing organ.
That's exactly true. You're constantly remodeling your bones. You're constantly making new bone, and you're constantly breaking down old bone. So our bones are always in that remodeling process. In fact, when you're younger, you're building more bone, what we call osteoblastic. And when you are older, you're breaking down more bone, osteoclastic.
Okay, so besides exercise, let's move on to the next piece of the foundation.
Okay. The next piece of the foundation would be calcium and vitamin D. A lot of times my patients will come in and a doctor has put them on a drug such as Fosamax and will redo their bone density and it's not much better. And I'll find out that they're not taking calcium and vitamin D. So my point is simply this. Not taking calcium and vitamin D would be like trying to build a house without bricks and mortar. The calcium and vitamin D are the bricks. The mortar would be the Fosamax. Another way to look at it would be, you know, there's different types of wood. You have a wood such as balsa wood, which is a very thin, light wood, and you can easily break a piece of balsa wood yourself, whereas a wood such as oak is a very dense wood, and it's very hard to break. So So we want your bones to be more like the oak. And the way you do that is you fill in the holes with calcium.
Susan, how much calcium do you think you might get in a day?
I don't know. I do take a multivitamin, multimineral, and I do take prenatal vitamins. As to how much calcium or vitamin D, I can't tell you off the top of my head.
Do you have much dairy in your diet?
I'm sorry?
Do you have much dairy?
No, and I've replaced dairy with cheese, yes. But the other is soy, which is not really a dairy, I don't believe.
Soy milk?
Yes.
Soy milk has calcium in it, no?
It has some. I want to get back to the risk factors for a second. That is, 16% of the American population is lactose intolerant. Sometimes we find out when the baby can't take their formula or the mother's milk, and sometimes we find out later in life, but it's about 16%. Those patients do have an increased risk of osteoporosis because they have either subconsciously or consciously avoided, you know, dairy products. Let me tell you, Susan, what I would recommend that you take from a calcium standpoint, 1,800 milligrams a day.
Of calcium.
1,800 milligrams of calcium a day is what most people would recommend. How about
vitamin D?
All right, I want to get to that in a minute. There are many different calcium types. You can have calcium citrate. You can have oscal. There are different types of calciums out there. We don't know that one is better than the other. There was an anecdotal study which showed that calcium citrate in some patients might be better absorbed. And there's also an anecdotal study thinking that calcium citrate might be less prone to cause kidney stones. And I'm not sure if that's true or not, but that's been thought to be the case. So calcium, about 1,800 milligrams a day. Now, vitamin D...
Hang on, Joel, before we move to vitamin D, is it better to get those 1,800 calories in the form of food or supplement, or does it not matter?
Probably does not matter. The problem, particularly as a woman gets over her menopause age, doctor, is that she does not absorb calcium very well. So we have to really amp up the amount of calcium that we're giving you because for whatever reason, the woman's intestine does not absorb calcium or vitamin D very well.
So 1,800 should allow for that extra?
That's correct.
Okay.
And that's in addition to what you're doing from a dietary standpoint.
Okay. So 1,800 supplemental in addition to what she gets dietary. Joel?
Really, cannot bone unless you have adequate vitamin D.
Okay, Joel, Joel, we lost you for a couple seconds there. Let's go back a little bit. You were recommending 1,800 for Susan in addition to whatever she gets through her diet, 1,800 supplement. Is that correct?
Yes, 18.
Okay. Joel? All right. We're going to take a break right now on the Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic and try to get back to Dr. Silverfield.
Winter's almost here, and we know what that means. Not snow shovels. You live in Florida. It's time for patio furniture. Time to enjoy cooler, sunny days on your lanai. Head over to Patioland USA, Tampa Bay's outdoor furniture superstore. Shop for sofas and chaise lounges, dining sets, and bar stools. Patioland USA's 14,000-square-foot showroom is just a mile east of 275 on Bears. Visit PatiolandUSA.com or call 813-632-8070. 813-632-8070.
Sometimes life's struggles are too much to bear alone. Providing a listening ear and effective counseling, Dr. Robert Mitchell can help.
It's not only helped me, but it also has helped my husband and has actually kept us together, which is something I didn't think was going to happen a few months back, honestly.
Call Dr. Mitchell of Sound Mind Ministries for Citadel Family Counseling Services. Help is available regardless of your financial situation at 727-733-3274. That's 727-733-3274.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 4th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702.
Confused about dry eye? Not getting answers as to why your eyes are so red and painful and your blurry vision that gets a little better with a good blink? Now you can learn all about dry eye, the causes, treatments, and home remedies from the number one best-selling consumer book on dry eye problems, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome by Dr. Stephen Maskin. Published by Yale University Press, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome has been selected as a 2008 Best Book of the Year by the Association of American University Presses and a 2007 Best Consumer Health Book by Library Journal. Find answers for your dry eye. Go to your bookstore and pick up a copy of Reversing Dry Eye. You'll be glad you did.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back to Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We're talking about osteoporosis with Susan from California, who's a patient with osteoporosis, and our expert today is Dr. Joel Silverfield. Joel, you back with us?
Yes, I am, and I apologize. I went through a bad cell, but getting closer to Tampa, hopefully it won't happen again.
We were talking about
vitamin D. Should I finish that one up?
Before you do, during the break, I checked to see how much vitamin D and calcium I am taking.
Yes.
As a supplement?
Yes, I am taking approximately 400 milligrams of calcium a day, plus 1,400 IU, whatever that means, of vitamin D a day.
Well,
and I guess the calcium, from what you said, is definitely not enough. Another question is, can you get calcium or vitamin D from vegetables?
You know, you can, but it's not a large amount. There's calcium in a lot of different things, but the amounts are small, and you need what we call more of a pharmaceutical-type dose. So, get what you can in your food and your diet. I think that's all very, very good and very important. That being said, you've got to be sure that you get enough so you can build your bones. And as I mentioned, 1,800 milligrams on the calcium is perfect. The IUs or units of vitamin D, 1,400 would be excellent. The average person, we recommend between 800 and 1,000 units of vitamin D daily. That being said, though, Susan, I might recommend that you have your doctor the next time he draws your blood to check a vitamin D level. Have you had that done?
No, I haven't.
Vitamin D is, we're finding that a substantial percentage of women after menopause have low vitamin D levels, and it's quite worrisome, and it's really something we've only been checking for the last two or three years. And what we're doing with those patients, if their vitamin D level is quite low, we're putting them on 50,000 units either once or twice a week of vitamin D. So you can tell those are super high dosages. Mm-hmm. But we think the vitamin D is such an important component of this whole scenario.
Well, I know my blood has just been tested due to my MS and a possible thyroid problem.
Right.
And everything was fine from that perspective. I still don't know the results of my thyroid blood test.
Well, a couple of points on that. The first is they would not generally do a vitamin D level, so I do recommend that you have a vitamin D level done the next time you have your blood drawn. It's not an emergency, because it sounds like you're doing an excellent job The other thing from a risk standpoint, you mentioned thyroid, and patients who have too much thyroid are at risk for osteoporosis traditionally. So it sounds like yours turned out well, but if it's too much, those patients will lose bone.
I don't know that I should get the results of the thyroid test this week.
These are new findings or a new evaluation for you on your thyroid?
Yes, as a result of a cervical MRI of my spine, they found a nodule on my thyroid. I had a biopsy done 2 days ago and blood test a week ago, so I should find out the results this week.
I see. Well, I hope those will turn out well for you, Susan. Most of the time they do. Probably only about 1 in 10 or maybe even less than that thyroid biopsies turn out to have anything worrisome in them. So I hope for you that those turn out well, and I suspect they will.
So you're saying, backtrack for a second, too much thyroid can also be associated with osteoporosis?
That's correct. In fact, you know, there's a whole trend, for whatever reason, I think it started in the 70s when oral thyroid hormone approach became available, where patients would go to the doctor and say they were tired or they were overweight and they just felt like they needed some thyroid, and the doctor would check them and their blood test would be okay, but they would put them on thyroid anyway. And what we're finding is that the patients who have too much thyroid, that it can result in osteoporosis.
That's a very important point. I mean, I think some people are taking thyroid for weight control, whether it be appropriate or inappropriate.
Weight control or energy level. Mm-hmm. You know, patients of mine who come in and they'll ask, well, gee, am I not hypothyroid? And I'll say, well, you know, there's just not enough of that going around for all the people who ought to have it.
Mm-hmm. Susan?
Yes.
Okay, so, Joel, take it from here. We talked about exercise, talked about calcium and vitamin D. What's the next piece of the foundation to discuss?
Well, she's taking Fosamax, and that's an excellent treatment. It's a once-a-week pill. The benefits to that, many patients will build bone with Fosamax. You know, I consider it a victory if you don't lose any more bone.
I'm having another bone density test in 2 weeks.
Okay. Then, you know, hopefully it'll show a little bit of improvement. Let me add that doing it on the same machine is important, Susan, because the machines can vary.
I'm going to the exact same place I had it done before.
That's exactly the right thing to do. Because I'll have some patients who will bring me two tests done in two different centers, and we're trying to compare them, and it can be difficult because there can be substantial changes. In any event, hopefully yours will be the same or better, and we can often see between 3% and 4% improvement in both the spine and in the hip. Those are the two areas that we look at on the bone density.
Okay.
So treatment with Fosamax is a very good treatment. The other ones that are similar to Fosamax would include Actonel, which is another oral treatment. That one can be given either weekly or monthly, and a drug called Boniva, which is a monthly medication. Those are very similar to Fosamax.
Are they mutually exclusive, meaning that
yes, should not be on more than one.
Okay.
And in fact, in general, we believe if you don't respond to one, the likelihood is you will not respond to the other. Mm. So if you've taken, say, Fosamax for years, it wouldn't make any sense in general, if things weren't going well, to change to Actonel or Boniva.
Question, but Joel, hang on. But let's say her bone density comes back and it's less than it was last time she took it. Considering the fact that her calcium supplementation perhaps was inadequate, would it be in all likelihood she would continue that Fosamax with the better diet, the better supplementation? In other words,
absolutely the case. What I would do if it came back where it was not better or it was less significantly, then I would check a vitamin D level and a PTH level. Her thyroid's already been worked up.
Mm-hmm.
And then if those looked okay, I would increase her calcium, and if vitamin D needed to be increased, we would do that as well.
Doctor, what is a PTH level?
Mm-hmm. Parathyroid hormone.
Thank you.
And that is an unusual adenoma which often grows on the thyroid gland. It's parathyroid, which means around the thyroid. And those patients will put out too much of a certain hormone, which makes the bones too thin.
So to probably continue the Fosamax with the evaluation of the PTH, the parathyroid hormone, the vitamin D levels, and to ensure adequate supplementation of the calcium.
That's correct. Now, the next question would be, what if we're doing all that and everything's good and we're on Fosamax or a drug similar to that and we're not better? Well, the next level that we've been looking at is that there are some patients who just don't absorb the oral bisphosphonates, which is what those drugs are, very well. And there's a drug called Reclass, which is an intravenous drug. It's zoledronic acid. And what's interesting, Susan, is it was originally used to treat breast cancer. And what it does is it makes the bones hard, so it's harder for breast cancer to get in the bones. It also may have another effect on breast cancer as well. But this drug, the intravenous drug, Reclass, may be somewhat more effective than the oral ones.
It's also bisphosphonate?
It's a bisphosphonate as well, but it's given intravenously, so you bypass the GI tract. That's interesting for a couple of reasons. The first thing, the most common side effect with these drugs is GI upset.
Do you have any upset in your stomach, Susan?
No, I don't.
Okay, that's a good thing. Yeah, and I hope that you take yours where you take it on an empty stomach and take a large amount of water with it, and then don't take anything else for 30 to 45 minutes. Is that what they've told you to do?
Yes, and that is what I do.
Okay, good, good. That's the appropriate way to take it. So bottom line is, let's just say, again, you're taking your drug, you've got good calcium, you've got good vitamin D, you're not where you want to be on your bone density, you can consider the intravenous treatment. There's another treatment out there called Forteo, which is a injectable medication, and it's used to treat patients for their bones, and it's quite effective. It actually, believe it or not, is a form of parathyroid hormone that actually builds bone. It builds bone. And the problem with the Forteo is, one, it's a daily injection, and two, that it does not seem to work as well after you've been on a bisphosphonate. Let's say you've been on the Fosamax for 2 or 3 years, and then you try to add the Forteo. The studies seem to show that Forteo is not very effective when it's used that way. We tend to use Forteo in patients who either do not tolerate the Fosamax or drugs similar to that very well, or who have really low bone density. Let's say you present to the doctor with a very low bone density and you fractured your back or your hip. We might give you the Forteo for 18 to 24 months, and then in addition, after you're done with that, add the Fosamax back.
How about a drug holiday, for example? Let's say she went 6 months without the Fosamax. Would the Forteo be more effective at that point? Has it been looked at?
Well, we don't know that. They don't seem to work well together. They've been used together without good improvement. And we don't know if letting the bone have a holiday from the bisphosphonate C would allow that to be more effective. That just
Hang on, guys. We have only one minute left. Susan, do you have one last question quickly to ask?
No, but I know I don't think I want to give myself 2 daily injections.
All right. All right, listen.
I appreciate. Thank you, doctor. I appreciate your time and answering my questions.
Thank you, Susan.
Excellent. Thank you for calling in.
And again, let me take the opportunity to thank my guest expert this week, Dr. Joel Silverfield. Joel, thanks for your expertise. We've enjoyed it. We've learned an awful lot. And thanks to each of you out there who have been listening to the show. Feel free to listen again next week and every week, and be assured that your questions are always welcome. Go on the website, focusonfemales.com, and send me a question. Send me a topic that you want us to tackle here on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. See you next week.